This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project.
All right, Mind Muscle Project.
Welcome back to another Thursday episode. Today, we are going to be talking about, I guess this is a hard one for you, Ralph, because, you know, some chest issues. But regardless, training how to build a big, strong chest, which you know how to do. And you know about good chest training. But we're gonna talk about your results at another time. But regardless, going to be a fun episode today. Obviously, an important topic for guys and for girls. I think this is a definitely a neglected body part for girls for lots of reasons. And we'll talk about, I think, why I think that's a mistake and some of the things that, you know, you can benefit from if you train chest regularly as a girl. Before we jump into the show, this month, we are doing Project Strong for 30% off. So if you go to themindmuscleproject.com/strong, our 8-week strong program, or a program to get strong, Project Strong program, that's the start. That 8 weeks is the start. If you love it, you can keep progressing it. I don't know, Raph, you're probably in like week 20 something by now, but there's multiple versions of it. But the 8-week version is a great starting point for anyone. It's obviously in our app. It's got the program. It's got the videos. It's got the instructions. You can input it. It's a great app. And so if you guys are interested, Strong 30, so Strong 30, one word, when you check out in February, you'll get 30% off that program.
And if you're wondering, a lot of chest in Project Strong, because that first cycle has bench twice a week, heavy bench twice, like different variation, but heavier bench twice a week.
Beautiful. And of course, AXP, one of our favorite companies, are giving away $1,000 of free supplements. And as you know, this supplement that they are running is not open to the rest of the market right now. So they have this particular recovery probiotic is only available to My Muscle Project listeners. But now, those of you listening, you can win $1,000 of this $1,000 of this probiotic for free, which you can't even get your hands on in the stores or online unless you listen to this podcast. And you can get that at themindmuscleproject.com/AXP. And we've been running that recovery probiotic and a lot of pro athletes, a lot of military, special forces, some other different uniquely chosen characters, influencers to use this product and give feedback. And well, the results and the studies have been tremendous. So again, check it out. Enter the draw to win $1,000 of free AXP at themindmuscleproject.com/AXP. And then lastly, we just spoke to the founder of Fitify, Brendan McCormack, about how he's built this amazing fitness tech company / dating fitness app company and the stage you're at today. So you guys can hear that story in probably out tomorrow. So you'll hear it tomorrow on the business show, themindmuscleproject.com/fitify, if you guys want to learn about this dating app. So it's a dating app for fit people. If you're into fitness, obviously you're into health, and you want to meet and date people like you, you can do that through this app, Fitify, and that's F-I-T-A-F-Y. themindmuscleproject.com/fitify is where you can check that out. Okay.
So, chest.
Before we jump into the chest, I think it's appropriate probably to, again, share exactly where we're at in our chest journeys and the story that we've built up since then. I'll let you take it away.
When did I start training chest? I think chest is probably the first muscle every guy trains in the gym. So the first one was the pin-loaded bench machine. And then pretty shortly after that, I got my own barbell bench at home. I think about 14 years old. And man, to be honest, chest was like...
Well, you had a pin-loaded machine at home?
No, at school we had a pin-loaded machine.
Oh,
that
okay,
I could use.
Yeah.
Which they suck. I think I only went up to 40 kilos. Like pretty quickly, I was like, I can do this whole stack. Like 12 years old.
Is that the one just you just push it straight forward, right?
Yeah, you just press straight up.
Yeah,
two hands.
Yeah, yeah.
They almost, you actually never see them anymore.
Never.
They suck.
Never.
For a good reason.
Never.
This is like a very old school gym. And then I got, that original 50 kilo barbell set I had. And I remember I bought extra plates because I hit my first 60 kilo bench with that at home bench press set. Probably around 14 years old. And I think like most people, I did tons and tons of chest growing up. During rugby, like bench press is probably the most important, not the most important, it's the most done barbell lift that you can do. And I think the most serious I ever got up to my chest training was right at the end of my rugby career. I actually did one of the very first programs Mike Guadango brought out when he first left DeFranco's gym.
That's not Westside for skinny bastards.
No, because that's Joe DeFranco.
Yeah.
Guadango brought out, like, because he really didn't agree with that stuff.
Right.
So he brought out like his first really technical bench press program that had me benching twice a day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like
twice a day.
Yeah, twice a day.
Wait, how many days?
I think like 3 days a week.
Oh, wow.
It was like a really technical, like Russian periodized. It's like the stage. If anyone's heard his episodes, he's coming on again soon. I did it on that. And I did obviously tons of bench on, all the different West Side programs before that.
Yeah. And then, you know, I followed a similar sort of path. I started following the main chest and the main bench programs that are out there. I think the very first chest program that I did, besides obviously just swinging weights around and jumping on different machines and doing pec decks, but the most effective one that I ever did was Smolov Junior. I think you remember that when I started CrossFit. I think what's interesting about CrossFit is obviously the chest is like the main, it's like the centerpiece for guys in terms of muscles that they want to grow, or their arms and their shoulders. So it's that kind of upper body area. Like that's obviously how you train. But when you go into CrossFit, you stop training chest specifically because all the exercises that you do for quote unquote chest are now performance based exercises, burpees, ring dips, push-ups.
Yeah. There's also almost no movements that are scored that are horizontal pushing.
Yeah, like benches.
Bench they brought in the later days.
But
it's still not super common because obviously it's like inconvenient compared to a push press. Yeah, yeah. 90% of pressing movements are vertical.
Yeah. So it's interesting to kind of go on that journey with the chest because obviously the chest is such a big focus when you start in the gym. You're wearing like stringlets and stuff and then you go to a CrossFit gym, there's no mirrors, you stop caring about it, and it's all about the performance. And so it's been sort of interesting, you know, starting in obviously the aesthetic world where it's the only thing that matters and then moving into the world of, I guess, performance where the size of your chest doesn't really matter at all. They just kind of want to know how many ring dips you can do, how many push-ups you can do.
In fairness, I find the chest was like probably unfairly maligned in CrossFit because people would be like, chest is the reason I can't overhead squat.
Yeah.
You know, be like, oh, dude, too much. Blame everything on too much. Dude, I can't do a handstand. Too much chest, bro.
Yeah.
So also, you just don't know how to do handstands. Nah, dude, it's because my chest is too big.
Yeah. So one thing that I think the best place to start now that you kind of, I guess, caught up a little bit on our journey with training chest is that there are a lot of myths surrounding training chest. And I feel like it's a good place to start with dispelling some of these myths because if you believe them, if they are a strongly held belief and you carry them over into your training, I think you'll be ultimately disappointed with your results with your chest. And I think a lot of guys and some girls as well probably feel a little bit disheartened with their chest development overall because, you know, it is obviously a very visual muscle. It's like, you know, right in your face. It's right below sort of the neck and, you know, right in the shoulders. So it is an important muscle group for a lot of people. Now, the first myth I would start with is actually for girls. I think a lot of girls believe they don't need to train chest because they've got boobs. Look, I'm not saying have the chest development of a guy. I mean, I'm not going to tell
good
you.
Good luck getting it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you what you think looks good or whatever, and that's completely up to whatever you want to do and however you want to look. But zero chest training, I think, is detrimental. Some girls are like, no, I don't want to look like a guy.
Well, it's obviously detrimental to your just like the fitness of your body, right? It's bad for you just to train, like to not train a major muscle group.
Yeah.
But also in general, for most people, it's definitely a negative for how you look.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's girls on who do like figure performances on stage. They train the house down on chest.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about like the bodybuilders. I'm talking about the ones that are more for their physique. They train chest hard. You know, and they don't end up looking really bad.
No, I think it helps to build structure and muscle and shape just through the kind of the neck, collarbone, chest region. Now, obviously, you've got boobs that guys don't have. So
it hides the lower chest.
Yeah, so it's not going to look like a guy's chest. But if you overdo the upper chest, it can start to look like a bit more like a masculine look. But again, do whatever you want to do. But I just think you do need some chest pec development for just, general health through your shoulders, general strength when you're doing all kinds of pushing. If you just neglect it the whole time, I think you just look weak. You know what I mean? And I think that's because you are weak. You know what I mean? Someone doesn't look weak and be super strong. I mean, it can happen, but generally that kind of weaker position that the shoulders sit in because there's no pec to support it and you just trained all the muscles around it, you're going to struggle with other movements. You're going to develop weird compensation patterns, you know? So these are just some things to consider. So I definitely think it's a myth that girls shouldn't train chest. I think it is an important muscle group to train and like to train it properly, how guys train it. It's not like you're going to like overdo one set and then wake up and be like, oh my God, I overdid it. I'm too big.
Honestly, I think for a while, for some people, it was like they pretended like girls didn't have chest.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh no, like girls don't need to do chest, obviously. Yeah. Don't have a chest. What? Like, no, you just can't see it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's how it was for girls doing anything in the weight room for a long time. But I mean, we've seen that pendulum swing a little bit, which is good. One of the other myths I think needs to be dispelled is that I think a guy, especially now, will look at their chest and go, okay, what areas of my chest need working on? And then they'll go on and go, okay, inner lower chest. And they'll go, right, inner lower chest exercises. You can't specifically target inner lower chest exercises. You can separate the upper and lower chest for sure. So like the upper 50% of your chest and then the lower 50% of your chest. If you actually look at the pec major, they are kind of separated in those two domains. They have a little bit of a different function. But you can't do like inner chest exercises to build up a massive inner chest and like outer chest exercises to build up a massive outer chest. It doesn't really work that way. Like it sort of does, but ultimately it'd be super hard to develop one area in isolation.
Yeah, I mean, you can emphasize some of the fibers, but I just think your expectations are maybe off. Like you're not going to do an exercise and say, oh, do that in a bit, just exploding.
Yeah.
Everything else, no difference. Like it's obviously not going to happen like that, because when you go to do the exercise, your whole chest is obviously going to contract.
Yeah.
So it just probably doesn't really make sense. Like I do think, you can think, oh, like, you know, what exercises could I target if I'm seeming a bit weaker in that area? But I think the idea that you just pick out, you got to do exercises and hit every different area of your chest is not really true. You know?
No. If you increase the size of your chest, it will kind of fix all those issues. I think I fell for that trap when I was growing because my chest wasn't very big. So I would like point to different areas of the chest. I'm like, I have to bring these up and find the exercises for them. What you end up doing is these like half weird.
You end up training light weights often.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to hit these small
you
targets.
You end up doing one-arm pec deck.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the guy that just got his bench to 150
exactly.
has a jack chest.
Yeah, exactly. So if you go and you look at the research on pec size and the best, most effective training exercise they've done for pec size, the most effective exercise, at least that they've studied, in terms of chest development, is increasing your one rep max bench press.
Yeah.
That's what their research has shown. So if you increase your one rep max bench press, I know the research isn't perfect and there's plenty of anecdote probably out there as well to not necessarily go against it, but maybe make a good argument for some other stuff. But at least in our research, we're pretty confident, hey, if you just get that one rep max bench press, if you can push a lot of weight, which is what the bench press is, right?
Yeah.
Pushing the most weight off your chest, you're going to get some big old titties.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so next thing I want to talk about is just some general training principles around chest. Now, generally, when people are thinking about the pec muscle, they're thinking a pressing movement, so a horizontal push, or a kind of, I guess, an incline push as well, and they're thinking the fly, right, where you're bringing your arms together. And both these are enough. Like, you don't actually, for chest development, I don't think you would need much more than those, doing a good fly with some range of motion and some good heavy pressing. However, there are other ways that you can build more function and strength into your chest. Now, one of these ways is a isometric contraction of the chest by pressing downwards. So this would be something like a top of the ring dip hold, a top of the dip hold, really top of the like bar hold, or pressing yourself into an L-sit off the floor. That takes a lot of chest strength and a lot of chest development, and a lot of what gymnasts do who have some of the most well-developed and functional and strong chests is that they take their pec through a very wide range of motion, but also they use a lot of isometric contractions as well. So static movements and a lot of static holds. And what you'll find, if you go and you jump up and you do, say, like a ring dip hold and you hold at the top, or a dip hold, your chest is like at full activation. And if you're doing long holds and you're doing weighted holds, you will develop a strong chest out of this. Just the way, same way gymnasts develop absolutely massive biceps without doing bicep curls. Mm. They're just doing a lot of straight arm strength. Muscles do grow from isometric contractions. And I think the chest is one of those exercises where people just neglect the isometric hold in the chest. And it's a very powerful aspect of the chest.
Yeah, I think overall people neglect the end range of motion for chest a lot.
Mm.
Not locking out the bench press.
Yes.
Not locking out their dips.
Yeah.
It's a ton. And you're missing out on development there.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely, I think they probably do it the best, gymnastics. One thing that obviously training chest is, you mentioned it earlier, is probably one of the biggest culprits you have to watch out for is getting the chest area too tight. And that's super common, right? You get really locked up through the front of the shoulder, through the pecs, just because you get excited and you start overdoing it.
Yeah, but the myth is that, like, if you do chest, that's guaranteed to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a myth.
Yeah.
Because the gymnasts have jack chest. It's just how you train it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's just people just doing, like you said, not going through that full range of motion, being too restricted, not locking it out, not pausing at the bottom, not getting a big stretch through the chest, just doing heavy, short bodybuilding ranges of motion, and they get a big pump. That restriction in range of motion is what ultimately ends up locking up the shoulder joint. So you need to put effective chest. You can just do chest exercises with more range of motion. Change the barbell for a dumbbell, and then instead of using a bench, use like a dead ball. Go on the ground, bridge your hips up, do a dead ball, and you can get your elbows almost to the floor. The stretch you get through your chest is absolutely incredible. Do a deficit push-up. Do a bunch of deficit push-ups or dips where your shoulder has to touch the top of the bar before it comes up. If you take your chest through that range of motion, you're not going to get those same issues than if you just benched and did flies the whole time. And so that's what I've noticed a lot with doing so much chest training. Like when I went for the 140 bench press and I did the bench cycle where all I did was dumbbells and bench press and banded bench press and all different bench variations, I got a lot tighter.
Yeah, well, I mean, also part of the problem is that those exercises, your shoulder blades aren't moving. So you're only doing chest exercise with your shoulder blades locked in, which is the correct technique. For sure, you don't want to start moving your shoulder blades on bench.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to lock them down, but you still want to then go train chest where your shoulder blades are moving through a full range of motion. So like a really good deficit push-up, definitely.
Yeah.
Shoulder blades are touching at the bottom and the top. They're like fully protracted and spread apart. So you need to include that in your program.
Absolutely. And even doing exercises in there which use the chest like a skin the cat, right? Mm. Big stretch through the chest and the biceps. But it's still a strength movement, right? You still got to pull yourself back.
Just strike, but we can't do one.
Exactly, right? It's interesting watching people do skin the cats because it does, once you can do it, it's such a simple exercise.
Yeah.
And so it looks quite easy. But then they can't lift their legs up and turn themselves over. And what you realize, there's so many aspects to shoulder strength that just get neglected in typical bodybuilding programs that are just so important for chest development. One thing that I think some of the most... You know, I think you and I would both make a pretty good argument for why gymnasts probably have the most well-developed chests, is that they're taking their chest, they're doing what the pec's supposed to do from so many different aspects of the chest. You know, that we just mentioned some of them, the ring dips and that sort of stuff, but they're also doing stuff where, you know, when you take your arms overhead and you're in a handstand, your chest is working to stabilize your shoulder. Your chest is involved in that movement. And when you miss that, you miss that aspect of isometric holds and balancing and kind of end range motion sort of stuff, is your chest doesn't really get to function in the way that it's supposed to involve. That attachment to the front of your rib cage and onto your arm, the chest is involved in a ton of exercises in terms of stabilizing. So very important that you do make sure you're taking, you know, take into consideration a lot of the end range stuff, a lot of isometric stuff that the chest's involved in. Okay, so outside of that selection of exercises and the range of motion stuff, definitely one thing that I think a lot of people will neglect with chest, and I don't know why it's chest more than other exercises, but they never do correct tempo. It's either always bouncing off the chest on a bench press, or it's always like fast down and fast up. It's never this slow, controlled tempo movement. Even when people do ring dips, right? I think CrossFit's probably a bit of a culprit for this. The ring dip tempo that gymnasts do versus the ring dip tempo that CrossFitters do, it's like
10 to 1.
Bro, it's like the 100 meter dash versus the 10K.
Yeah.
Like the slow and controlled nature of a dip on the rings for a gymnast, because ultimately what muscles will end up growing from a lot is tension, right? So if you place your muscle under a lot of tension, then you're going to get more growth, right? Which is part of why people are training chest mostly. If you do a ring dip that takes you, I don't know, what would you say an average, say like if a gymnast is training ring dips? Because obviously they don't really need to train dips for speed. It's not like they're not doing them for time.
No, it's probably like a 3 or 4 second dip.
And then for a
couple seconds on the way down, second at the bottom, second to get back up.
Yeah.
They lock it out properly.
I'd say 2 seconds on the way up, because they kind of push, they rotate and as they're pushing, and then they're doing this full lockout squeeze. Like that whole process, and CrossFit takes what, 1 to 2 seconds for a dip? And how much chest tension is there? They kind of stretch the chest at the bottom, pop up, and then it's all the tension is in the triceps. Mm. So you miss so much of the benefit from just going too fast in chest. So I feel like it's one of those exercises, especially when you're doing some of the bodyweight stuff, like the push-ups, the dips, even like the dumbbells, all that sort of stuff. If you slow way down on that stuff, you'll come off with a much bigger pump and much more tension through the chest. I think there's a lot more benefit there for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's just because often chest exercises have a lot of ego associated to them. Mm. People are trying to push like more reps, heavier weight than maybe other areas. It's so rows, like, oh, whatever. I'm just like, you know, I'm focusing on my technique with rows. Bench, yeah. Like, bro, what is on the bar? That's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you can obviously have times when you go for speed and weight, you've got to have more of your time in your training when you're going for a pump.
Absolutely. Now, that being said, when you do tempo stuff, I think a lot of people sprinkle in these light activation exercises and, you know, like, you know, weird sliding movements, you know, with light weight and all this activation stuff. Even though that's slow and that's activating your chest, it's not going to grow your chest. It's probably coming back to that myth stuff. You still need to make sure you're loading your chest correctly. I mean, there's, you know, you can do all the pec decks in the world, but if you still can't jump up and bang out 20 bodyweight dips or whatever, there's only so big your chest can get. You know, so there is that. You can never get away from progressive overload in the chest. So, yeah, just activating your chest and feeling it in your chest and getting a pump in your chest is good, but... Yeah, I mean, you don't actually have to get a pump in your chest to grow. You can just get a really strong bench press, your chest will grow. So it's not an essential factor. Feeling your chest, while it is a useful tool, is not essential for growing your chest. So don't get carried away there. It's like always trying to do these exercises to like feel your chest. Mm. Okay, so next thing and probably some pretty common thing is obviously volume. When it comes to training chest and the volume of chest, it really ties into this last point, which is, you know, novelty and variety and just enough variation. For what I found personally that's worked really well for me, and this was a principle that James Fitzgerald spoke to the world about 7 years ago, is that the upper body muscles need more frequency and need more variation than the lower body exercises in order to progress and grow. And that is what I've found has worked really well for me. If I just get stuck doing bench press in my program for chest, I notice my chest gains pretty static, my strength pretty static. But if I'm throwing in a lot of ring dips, if I'm throwing in a lot of even some muscle ups, throwing in bar dips, weighted bar dips, deficit push-ups, if I'm, you know, skin the cats, a lot of the stuff we've just mentioned, I notice a lot more progress through my chest.
Yeah, I mean, there is so much variation, so why not?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think those are kind of the cornerstones of training chest effectively. Yeah, I think there's plenty of ways that you can get away with it. It's such a big muscle group. It's used in so many different aspects that people aren't always considering. And then I think that's what ultimately holds back a lot of people's chest development, is that they get stuck on one or two exercises. Mm. Whilst they're important, it's good to master, say like the bench press and the dumbbell fly, there are some massive... I mean, how many times do you see a bench press? A gymnast do a bench press? Zero. Right?
Zero.
They never do it.
They don't have benches.
But then when they go...
They would if they had a bench. They haven't got benches in their gym.
Yeah, but when they go to do it, they can do double body weight bench press, right? Obviously, they're freakishly strong from other stuff, but they've never done bench press. And what that shows you is it's not the exercise for building chest necessarily.
I mean, it's so easy to load body weight for chest, right? Yeah. There's so much you can get out of it. Probably one even we didn't mention as well, which is I do think that, you know, often someone that's got a really big back has a really big chest. And I do think a big part of that is that, yeah, if you can get those back muscles and the stabilizers all firing really well, you can handle so much more weight on a bench.
Yeah.
And that, as we said, is ultimately going to grow your chest. So if you start with chest development, you could also look elsewhere and be like, well, there's something else holding me back on my chest exercises, which is why I can't load them, progress them, which is ultimately going to influence the growth as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And also just like as a general principle, we've talked about this a few times, but training everything to failure, so it's so sore, which people love to do on chest, right? Drop sets, partner loaded, negative sets and all that. That is the stuff that really holds back your chest development. If your chest is, I mean, if you think about it from a CrossFit aspect, your chest is so sore. If you train it so hard that you need 5 days to recover, that's useless because now you slow down on burpees, you slow down on dips. Frequency, not getting too sore, if really ever getting that sore, is going to be a long-term benefit. It's going to benefit you more long-term when it comes to your training. So, again, we'll cover everything off. So, the myths, obviously, around inner chest, outer chest, upper, lower chest, girls needing to train chest is important. Frequency, tempo, choosing the right exercises, training a full range of motion, the end range of motion, and then considering your volume and variation, all things which we've essentially compensated for you guys in a program if you want to make it easier for yourself. Project Body has a big chest focus and all this sort of stuff. You probably get a little bit more variety in terms of exercise selection in Project Body. The sale for that just ended, but you can check it out at mymuscleproject.com/body. But if you want to get like more of the staple core chest exercises that, you know, I know you've been going through recently, Raph, some closed grip bench, some wide grip bench, some of that sort of stuff, different tempos, strength focus, performance focus, the mindmuscleproject.com/strong. And the code is strong30 till the end of Feb for 30% off that 8-week program. But regardless, whatever you choose, guys, hopefully you can, you know, apply this knowledge to your chest training and grow them titties. All right. Thanks so much, guys, and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.